Amen. Thank you, John. John was part of that trio that we heard the other night, him and Sonny and Robert. That's just a big old blessing to us indeed. Take your Bible this morning, turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John. I'm going to start hanging out in 1 John for probably several Sundays, except a few breaks for Christmas here and there. So we'll start there today in 1 John chapter 1. And consider Jesus as being the Word of life. He is the Word of life. First John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And we write these things to you that your joy may be complete." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would help us to understand this morning what you would have us to know, the message, Lord, that you would have for us. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would use me as your servant. Father, forgive me where I failed you, that you might use me to speak your words today, Lord. We just give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus has a lot of names in Scripture. He's called, just to name a few, Prince of Peace, Savior, Redeemer, Light of the World, Comforter, Cornerstone, Dayspring, Deliverer, Friend of Sinners, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jehovah, the Son of God. On and on. We could go on for the next 30 minutes just reading the list. But Jesus has these names because He is everything. He is my all in all. Whatever the problem is, I believe this with all of my heart, whatever the problem is, Jesus is the answer. Amen. And He has the answer for us in His Word. Now, each one of these names that I mentioned and all of the others that I did not mention, each one of these names teaches us something about the character of God, His nature, and how completely that He cares for you. One of those names that Jesus has is life. He is life eternal. In the Gospel of John chapter 11 and verse 25, it says, "Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live." Those of us who have trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord are alive today because He is life. You say, "Well, I was alive before." No, the Bible says that you're dead in trespasses and sins before you come to Jesus. When you come to Jesus, you're made alive in Him. John was with Jesus during his physical presence on this earth. And so John here is qualified to teach us about Jesus. He was an eyewitness, as we read about in Sunday school this morning in 2 Peter, where Peter says we were eyewitnesses to His majesty. Well, John as well was an eyewitness to His majesty, so he's qualified to teach us about Jesus. Well, what are his qualifications? We see that in the opening verses of this book, 1 John. The Apostle John tells us what qualifies him to teach us about Jesus. John uses that pronoun we there in those scriptures, and he's talking about himself and the other apostles and all those believers in scripture that was here when Jesus was here, including those 500 witnesses that witnessed him after he rose from the dead. So John's qualifications here to teach us about Jesus, he was there. He was an eyewitness. He says, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we've looked upon. And that means that word looked upon, you say, why does it say seen and looked upon? It sounds like the same thing. Seen means I'm seeing you. Looked upon is that I'm looking upon you with favor. A little bit of difference there. And then he says, we've touched him with our hands. I don't know about you, but when somebody is telling me a story or an account of something that happened, and they say that they were there, they heard it with their ears, they touched them, they saw them, they looked upon them, and all these things, that pretty much tells me that that's a pretty reliable witness, is it not? John writes to us here concerning Jesus as the Word of life. Jesus is life. He is our life, those of us who've trusted Jesus as Savior. His life is in us. His life, it says here in verse 2, was made manifest. In other words, making himself seen. All throughout the Old Testament, there was these epiphanies of God, or we might say theophanies. And it was God representing himself as spirit. He's a voice heard. It says he's in the cloud. Remember, he was leading the children of Israel across the desert. He was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And so he represents himself in all of these different ways. But then in the New Testament, we see that God manifests himself or makes himself known in the flesh. In the flesh. Again, the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 14, says the Word, Jesus is the Word of life. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so that's what John meant when he says, we've seen Him, we've touched Him, we've heard Him. It's because the Word had become flesh. Not a spirit. You can't see a spirit, can you? I haven't looked for one lately, by the way. I just rely on the Holy Spirit that God gave me when He saved me, right? But you can't see a spirit. And so God manifested Himself in His Son so people could see Him, be visible. So John again here is reminding us that Jesus is life manifested to us. He's life demonstrated to us. He's revealed to us. He's shown to us. This life is eternal life. We flip that word around quite a bit, don't we? Eternal life, eternal life. Can you tell me this morning how long is eternal life? It's eternal. You can't say anything more about it, can you? It's without beginning and it's without end. It's eternal. But when Jesus is described as being eternal life, it's more so of describing a quality of that life more so than a length of that life. Does that make sense? And so, this life that Jesus has is eternal. It's without beginning or end. It was bought and paid for on the cross, right? On the cross of Calvary, it was bought and paid for. John states in verse 3 that this is the life that he now proclaims. He says, I've seen it, I've handled it, I've handled him, I've saw him, I've heard him, I've touched him, and now I want to tell you about him. And the story's been told ever since, hasn't it? I'm thankful that I heard the story long ago when I was about 9 years old. I had been hearing the story at church because my mama kept me in church as a kid. She brought us to church. Dad didn't go to church when I was young. Dad didn't give his heart to Jesus till he was 73 years old. Not that he didn't believe in God. He just never took that step. And so mom had to get four kids up and get them to church every Sunday. That's a mammoth thing, is it not? For mama to get up and do that every Sunday morning. But I realized at 9 years old at a church camp in Greenville, Missouri. Yeah, we got a Greenville up there too, up in the hills. I was sitting in one of the classes at church camp, and the teacher was talking to us young boys about Jesus. And I knew that I had not taken the step of trusting Jesus as my Savior. I had been thinking about it, but I hadn't made that step. That day, the teacher, he invited anybody who wanted to stay over and talk after class, they could stay. And so, as nervous as I was, I stayed after class. And thankfully, nobody else stayed. It was just me. Those guys were all going to play baseball. That sounded so much better than sitting in class, doesn't it? Let's go play baseball. Well, my baseball game waited that day because I had more important matters to attend to. And I wonder today, have you taken that step of actually trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He's the life. And have you trusted Him today? Have you made a decision for Jesus? John, here we've determined that he has the qualifications to write this book we're looking at. So why did he write it? Well, he wrote it so that we would have fellowship with Jesus. Often, when we think of fellowship as Baptists, we think about bellyship, don't we? I mean, you say fellowship, we're going to come to a fellowship, there's got to be food, doesn't there? I mean, why would we fellowship if we don't have anything to eat? Make any sense? That's not what he's talking about here, obviously. Fellowship means, if you give it a dictionary definition, it's grouping together with other people who have a common interest. For instance, we're fellowshipping in here today, right? We have a common interest today, don't we? You wouldn't have come to church if you didn't have a common interest and you knew there'd be other people here with a common interest today about Jesus. Our common interest, of course, is Jesus, the study of God's Word, worshiping together, enjoying the company of each other, that you were deprived of, by the way, because we didn't let you fellowship, but we'll try to do that better next time. Amen? You're not mad, are you? I hope not. Fellowship is that relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. This is something supernatural. When you trust Jesus as Savior and you have that fellowship with Him, it's something supernatural has happened in your life, right? Some people try to fake that. They try to fake a fellowship, pretend to have a relationship with God, but it's not something that you can fake or pretend. Oh, you could fool us, right? You could fool other Christians, but you can't really fake an authentic fellowship with God. I knew a guy in my church that I pastored up in Missouri. And this guy, he was involved in everything. I mean, from all visible signs, you would think that he was saved. Every Tuesday night, we would meet together, and we would go out on church visitation. We use the faith Sunday school evangelism strategy, which is a Southern Baptist thing that teaches you how to witness to people. So we'd go out, and he was a forerunner in that. He wanted to tell folks about Jesus. That's commendable, is it not? A little bit later, this man got transferred to another city. And it was about 6 months to a year later, my phone rang, and he said, "Brother Keith, I got something to tell you." He said, "I got saved." And it kind of floored me a little bit. I said, "You did? You got saved?" He said, "Yes, I got saved. I realized that my profession was not real. I realized that I was doing all the right things, but I didn't have Christ." And I said, "Praise the Lord, brother." You see, a lot of people are like that today, right? And they don't have, they're, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a pride thing. They don't want to admit. And they may have sat in church for years. They don't want to admit that they never really had Christ in their life. I pray that that's not you today. But I do pray that you would make a profession of faith in Christ today. Just do it. You know what? It really doesn't matter what anybody thinks, does it? Who cares what someone else thinks? It's between you and God. And you need to make that right with God no matter what anybody thinks, right? If I have true fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, I don't have to fake it. I don't have to play games. Because if I have fellowship with God through Christ, you're going to see that in me, right? I don't have to put on a show for you. I don't have to fake it. An authentic, real relationship with God just should spill over into my daily living, right? If you see me outside of church, then I should be the same person that you see in church. And even more so, because my relationship with God is my life and my priority and everything else. A lot of times, you know how when you're talking to somebody or maybe you've just met them and they say, "What do you do?" In other words, they want to know what kind of job do you do? What do you do? Well, through the week, most of you guys know that I work a day job, and I like that. I like working because it puts you out in the real world. That sometimes pastors kind of are shielded with that, away from that. But when somebody asks me, "What do you do? Keith, what do you do?" I may be tempted the first thing to say, "Well, I'm a manager with Belk." But you know what? I'm really a pastor first. Because that's the calling that God has put on my life. I'm a pastor that just happens to work down there through the week. You ever thought about that? As a believer, of course, you'd probably, I don't know, maybe you wouldn't shock somebody by saying this, but you know, if I say, "Hey," you know, somebody says, "Hey, what do you do?" I'm a believer in Jesus Christ first, but I drive a truck, or I do this, or I do that. I work down there. You see, that's just lining things up correctly, is it not? It's just lying. First, you're a child of God, right? First thing, you're a child of God. I got this sticker on the back window of my truck out there. I don't know if you've seen it. It's up high. And it says, "I am second, Christ first." I am second, Christ first. Now, I stole that idea off of Drew Brees. Drew Brees, he's got a bracelet that he wears, and it says, "I'm second." But he wants you to ask him, why he's second. You think, well, man, he's one of the number one quarterbacks. He's the top dog, isn't he? No, he's a believer in Christ who plays football for the Saints. Now, I don't know a whole lot about his personal life, but to me, that stands out, does it not? And if you've got something visible like that, people will notice that. I was working at our Belts Flowwood store a couple of weeks ago. I had to go out there and work all day. And one of the employees came by, and she had saw me get out of my truck out in the parking lot, and she said, "I love that sticker that's in your back window. I am second, Christ first." See, somebody will walk by that, and it just might, maybe it will help somebody get their priorities right. You know what I mean? And so for just a split second, I told her why I had that sticker there. Because Christ is first, right? Christ is first. He's the life. He's the first thing in my life. So this fellowship with God the Father and His Son Jesus is the fellowship that John is proclaiming to us, and we should proclaim to the world. It starts with trusting Him as Savior. We'll notice also here the last thing John writes about our joy, that our joy may be complete. In verse 4 he says, "We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." John shares with us in verse 4, and not only is he writing this book to us, that we would know fellowship with God, but also that our joy would be complete. Joy is something, it's not just happiness. It's not just happiness. Joy is something that Wayne spoke about several times, if you caught it, through those messages. He said this phrase often. He says, "It is my joy to say, your will, my way." You remember him saying that? "It is my joy to say, your will, my way." In other words, this type of joy doesn't just depend on how I feel. You say, "Well, I don't always feel joyful." Do you? You know, circumstances cause my happiness to go up and down, right? Not always happy. I kind of wonder about somebody who is, don't you? Is always happy. There's a boss grinning like a possum down here. He's like that, is he, Sonny? I do know some people like that. Wonder about him. What are they thinking in their mind? It's almost kind of creepy, isn't it? But the joy that John wants to teach us about doesn't depend on my feelings, does it? My feelings go up and down. And sometimes it's more down than it's up some days, right? But the joy that John is speaking about here, it doesn't matter how I feel at the moment or what happens to me or what kind of circumstances that I'm in. This joy is that indescribable, complete joy that I have in Christ. It's peace in my heart. It's peace in my heart that my fellowship with Christ gives me to be able to say that everything is going to be okay. Right? Yes, I might be going through a hard time, difficult time, but I have the joy of Christ in my heart to know that everything is going to be okay. Right? It's going to work out. I always say, and I mean that, is that God never lets me down. He doesn't let me down. He doesn't give me everything that I want, but I'm more disappointed in myself when that happens and not in Him. I don't get disappointed. God doesn't let me down. He's got that joy that he's He's given me. Now, this joy that John is speaking of can only be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. This kind of joy that I'm talking about can only be found in a relationship with Christ. In other words, you cannot experience this joy outside of that relationship with Christ. Because if you don't have His joy that only comes from Him and relationship with Him and being connected to Him, then the joy you're going to be experiencing is that one that depends on your feelings or depends on whatever's going on at the moment. And life gets kind of crazy, does it not? It really does. But only people who are saved know this joy. And you can hang out with other Christians and feel it, but you can't know it unless you know Christ, who is the giver of this joy. So the question this morning that I have is that, is your fellowship with God, is that real? Is that real? Is the fellowship that you say that you have, is it real? Is it genuine? Is it authentic? Does the fellowship you say that you have with God bring joy to your life? True fellowship with God means that you have a relationship with Christ. Only in that relationship with Christ can we have joy and peace that doesn't depend on circumstances or feelings. So we're going to have an invitation here in a moment. And I want to ask you to trust Jesus as your Savior. There's a number of ways that you can respond to the invitation. You can either come down and speak with me. Remember, throw pride out the door, right? You can make a decision where you're seated or where you'll be standing in a moment. But make a decision for Christ and experience these things, this fellowship and this joy that we talked about today. Okay? Let's stand. Father, I pray, dear Lord, in Jesus' name, that if there's someone here that needs to make a decision to trust You as Savior today, that they would not be afraid to do that. Perhaps there's someone here today, Lord, who is saved and they know that and they'd like to just come and unite in membership with us, Lord. Maybe they have a membership elsewhere and they've moved away and they moved here and they need to move their membership. I don't know, Lord. Father, I pray that You would just move on each of us, Lord, to do what we need to do. We give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.